This is Healthcare Now Radio's Interviews Now. Thanks for joining us. I'm Roberta Mullen, today's host, joining you from Atlanta, Georgia. Follow our show's hashtag, Interviews Now, and join the conversation. In this fast-paced, ever-changing landscape we call healthcare delivery, who can we trust to tell us, good or bad, what is happening now? Let us help you sort out these issues with today's thought leaders in the know. On this episode, we will be discussing health data management with Steve Matheson, Vice President, Product and Sales at Bridgehead Software. Hi, Steve. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So I want to start out with a little bit about your background and tell us in the audience about yourself and how did you get into the health IT space specifically?
Well, I've been in technology, I hate to say it, but over 35 years now. And primarily I was involved in what most people would think of as traditional infrastructure technology, servers, storage, et cetera. I worked for Digital, worked for EMC, et cetera. And as time went on, in the last 15 years, one of the industries that I hadn't actually sold to in my role in sales was I had never sold to healthcare. And in a stint I did at Commvault, one of the industries we focused on, we were partnered with Dell, was healthcare. And I began to see that healthcare was about to explode in terms of wanting to deploy new technology that could make them more efficient and candidly begin to bend the cost curve around healthcare. And so 10 years ago, almost I think next month, I had knew of Bridgehead Software and I met their founder. And for the last 10 plus years, I have been in healthcare.
So that was right before the High Tech Act came in and all the money came flooding in for electronic medical records.
Exactly. And that, even though I would love to say I could have predicted that, I couldn't. But what I did understand was healthcare was probably the last industry that hadn't made major investments in technology and lagged candidly behind other industries like financial services. So it looked like it was about to break, and I just happened to move into it and find Bridgehead at the right time.
So tell us a little bit about Bridgehead, and obviously they've been around for a while and before all of this.
Oh yes, without question. So today we have offices in Europe and North America. We exclusively build products for healthcare, and we do it worldwide. We have customers all over the globe. We were founded in 1994, and initially Bridgehead was a data recovery software company. We sold solutions to all vertical markets. What really differentiated Bridgehead was that it realized that in order to be competitive, it would need to seek out those really tough data management problems that other vendors struggled to solve. 17 years ago, our founder and our original CTO, who were both still with the company, were approached by Meditech with just such a problem. Many Meditech Magic customers were struggling when they used many of the commercial backup products of the day to create a consistent, recoverable copy of their Meditech environment. That put that Meditech environment at risk. Our team partnered with Meditech to design an architecture which consistently provided Meditech sites a copy of their Meditech application that could be recovered. That was the beginning of the company's focus on solving problems for healthcare exclusively. 1,200 hospitals later, we're still developing software solutions for healthcare. Our focus has changed a bit in that what we're trying to solve is the big data management problems of how to efficiently and cost-effectively aggregate patient, clinical, and financial data while simultaneously making it available to the entire healthcare enterprise.
So you're exclusively in healthcare now, or you're still in other verticals?
Exclusively in healthcare. We don't sell to any other vertical, and we only develop solutions that can be used in healthcare. So even if we wanted to sell to a bank, we couldn't.
You said you're worldwide. Where's the development mainly? Here in the United States?
Development is both in the United States and in the United Kingdom.
Okay, so now I want to talk about something specifically. Bridgehead calls something the 360 degree view of a patient record. And how is that helping clinicians? And on top of that, you would agree that the landscape today in hospitals still have a lot of systems, a lot of applications, still a lot of siloing going on out there with data. What's your whole take on this Bridgehead's 360 degree view of a patient record?
Well, let's start with my, sort of my lens. My lens is the 10 years that I've been at Bridgehead. And if you look at using my 10-year lens and look at today, two things become very apparent. First, data in electronic form and healthcare are now permanently wed to each other. The idea that a patient record could exist in paper is become, passé. Secondly, the healthcare application portfolio is exploding in its ability and capacity to create and analyze data about a patient. So today, if you're a primary care physician, you can, with a 360 degree view of a patient record, you can see data from patient encounters from everything from the sleep lab to the oncology center to the emergency department. I understand how important this was recently. I was thinking about this as we're getting ready for this conversation. I was at a personal level. I have a nephew who had a recent health issue where he had to be evaluated for a concussion from a sports injury. He had a concussion previously, and the emergency department physician wanted to know the specifics of the injury. Even though my nephew has been a patient at the hospital for over 20 years, the emergency department physician could not reference his history beyond the last 6 years. Why? The hospital was purchased, and as part of the acquisition, they migrated from one EMR to another. They didn't migrate all the history into the new system. That data was still left scattered across a range of older applications that were difficult to access, and in some cases, unavailable to even use a login unless arrangements were made in advance. A 360-degree view of a patient record includes data from applications long retired. The premise is to have a single point where you can collect, aggregate, maintain, and view data that continues to have a clinical, business, or regulatory value. And this idea that a patient becomes a reliable historian to their medical history has proved false. And that's why one of the things we heard over and over again from our customer base was that there was a requirement to develop a single repository that can be that accurate historical source about a patient for the clinical side of the hospital. And candidly, it's also being used by the business and analytical side of the hospital. So my take on the 360-degree view is with many, many applications creating much data, and the applications are shifting from, which we'll talk about later, version one to version two and beyond. It's really important that the hospital have a place that they can aggregate it all and still maintain it without losing the historical value that data has.
Your story about your nephew, I hear every single day. No matter what, who I'm talking to, what conversation I have, there's always someone with that same story. And you also said something about about the patient being their own custodian of their records. Can all of this be really truly done without the patient or the consumer actually taking some of this responsibility?
Well, it can, and it is. The consumer adds context because the consumer adds context about those treatments and candidly diseases that are consistently being treated while the consumer's at their home or in their office setting or in their personal life setting. All of us now wear very expensive watches that monitor how much we sleep and how much we walk up and down stairs, et cetera. That adds to the information about a patient, and soon that will become very important as well. But today, the biggest challenge that most patients have is they're being asked in critical medical situations to remember things that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
Most patients fail at that task The second thing is physicians are being asked to find data across now 20, 30, 40 applications about a patient. And that's also not going to work as the number of applications and the complexity of the applications increases.
But I even find it on being a patient myself and in this industry, I'm just so much more aware of it. I choose my doctors only if they're using a system, only if they're in the health system, so everything is connected. It's one of my priorities. But I also find myself always, after I see a doctor, looking at the medical record and seeing what they're putting in there. Because in the end, if the mistake is there from the beginning, it's still... I think that I'm the end person that can say, that's not correct. That's not what you said. Or here's the record. I'm not talking about like me walking around and telling them I take my blood pressure every day. I'm even talking about, isn't the patient going to be a part of this solution that they are making sure that all their records are correct?
I think they are. And I think that's, you know, and you've seen it, that many of the systems from Epic, Meditech, Cerner, all have now patient access. I know my nephew uses the hospital that I talked about went to Epic, and he uses, I believe it's the Epic My Chart application to look at his records. I do believe the patient has a role. Our software also is enabling patients to have a role, and our software allows a patient or a clinician or a business person, if they have the appropriate credentials, to be able to look at information that has a historical purpose. And one of the things that, since, as I said in the earlier question, you know, now all of a sudden what's happened in the market is we're going to version 2.0 of these applications, of electronic medical record applications. As we go to 2.0 with these applications, what we now are going to see is what was put into the 1.0 version. And so far, most patients haven't seen their medical records, or if they have, they were given to them either in paper or they're given to DVDs. Now you're going to have a browser and the ability to look at your record and review it. And I think we're going to find that many records have information in them that the patient wouldn't necessarily agree with.
So let's move over to all these systems that are out there. Why do health systems still have and maintain legacy, outdated? Even some of them are maintaining sunsetted systems. Why?
Well, let's talk about the magnitude of the problem. It's really two challenges. You know, as I said, we have 1,200 hospitals using our backup software. And when I came to the company originally, we were seeing that traditionally they had 20 to 50 critical applications and databases that our backup software was used to protect. What's changed is today, a typical hospital for us has hundreds of applications, approaching 1,000, and many of them have hundreds of terabytes of data that our backup software has to protect every day. That's a big challenge when you think about that you have hundreds of applications with hundreds of terabytes of data, and many of them are contained on older hardware with older operating systems that have security vulnerabilities. The second challenge is that as hospitals make the decision, which is, you know, not just a financial decision, it's an emotional decision to decide that they're going to go to that new 2.0 version of the EMR or the imaging application, they're faced with a very tough decision to make. Do they have the resources, expertise, and time to deal with the complexity of migrating hundreds of terabytes of data from old to new applications? And doing it in conjunction with deploying this brand new unknown 2.0 application? Or do they continue to do what sometimes sounds easier, which is to have the clinical and business staff access the existing patient data? They continue to run the old app and all its infrastructure. In the past, continuing to run the old app was the easiest route. What's changed is that now hospitals focus, when I talk to clinicians at hospitals, the conversation centers on three important items: efficiency, cost, and risk. So if you're part of the clinical staff or in a hospital or an ambulatory practice, you're about efficiency in patient workflow. And that translates to having an easy access to the record, and it presupposes that the clinician does not want to have to search across 5 or 10 applications to find the patient's information. That same clinician realizes a personal cost for that inefficiency, because if you're looking for the historical obstetric ultrasound reports that came from a prior pregnancy, and you have to search 3 to 5 applications to find them, if you can find them, then your 9.5-hour day becomes an 11-hour day if that process continues all day long. And the risk is that if you don't put the effort into finding the data, you compromise the delivery of safe healthcare. So what we've seen is that as data gets bigger, it presents more opportunity for delivering better healthcare, but it also presents more challenges if the applications that create it aren't eventually retired and the older data is put into a single repository with a single viewer that can be accessed while the physician business person is in the new EMR. And that's what we've strived to do. That's why how we've designed HealthStore. HealthStore has the ability to aggregate all the information and has its own viewer. But what it's also able to do is it's able to be called from the existing application so that the clinician has really one experience of accessing a patient's record, and it's seamlessly integrated to them, even though the actual data is in our system and it's in the EMR. We have sort of the historical repository, the EMR is the current repository.
If you're just joining us, this is Interviews Now, and I'm talking to Steve Matheson from Bridgehead Software. That was interesting. You obviously ticked off a few benefits for the hospitals in retiring legacy systems there. So my next question was going to be, what are some of the benefits for the hospital to retire legacy systems? But how do you get them to start doing this?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of benefit. But with many of these projects, what you're also doing is you're changing behavior. Just like introducing a brand new EMR, a version 2 EMR, requires many hospital staff to change how they do things. What you're doing is you're getting the hospital to think differently. And part of that thinking differently is hospitals today spend a majority of their time thinking about how they're going to compete for patient and how they're going to generate revenue. And one of the things that hospitals are struck with is if their application footprint is so large that it becomes, you're maintaining old things at a cost that's higher than acquiring new things, that's not sustainable. It's also not sustainable because it begins to poke at ideas like, can I move to the cloud? Well, older applications don't move to the cloud. They weren't designed for it. So what we're finding is hospitals are fairly receptive to the idea. In fact, they're very receptive to the idea. What they want is they want to understand that there is a single solution that can do imaging as well as EMR-based data, that can operate in the cloud, but also can have an on-premise copy. And so, you know, part of what's been a real challenge for us is we've had to think about these things, talk to customers about them as we designed HealthStore. And what we candidly found is the acceptance rate is very high, but it's very high because what we're not saying to a customer is you can only put imaging data in us, or you can only put EMR data, you can only put this. We have to be that single centralized repository. And eventually, as systems become friendlier, we will become that repository for historical patient data like you spoke about, where patients themselves contribute data to their own healthcare plan and to their own patient record.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, hospitals are looking for good vendor partners that they can trust.
Yes, they are.
Yes, I mean, that's number one. You know, it's all about your partnership and working with them.
Yeah, and our 16 years in just the meditech market, has shown the medtech market that bridgehead's here to stay.
Let's shift over to the biggest stories of 2017. Ransomware, cyber attacks, cybersecurity issues. Tell us a little bit about Bridgehead and how they're safeguarding the health data these days.
Sure. So, you know, if you sort of quantify why ransom attacks are so effective, we all know that, you know, a ransom attack happens because a hospital employee unintentionally introduces the attacker into the hospital's computer environment. The thing that Bridgehead's Health Store enables is that we have a little bit different bent on how we manage information, and that makes it safer. So we provide data on independence from both the application that creates it and from the storage it sits on. So what it means is that HealthStore creates an independent copy or copies of the data. That data separation allows us to maintain a copy of information through HealthStore. And HealthStore, different than many of these other applications like email or like even an EMR, has very few penetratable access points. So if you were to lose a system and HealthStore had some of its data, the HealthStore data might be multi-copied. It might be also multi-copied to cloud. It could be on-premise. And one of the other things that we talk about, it's sort of, I guess, what you'd call an old school capability, is HealthStore is one of the few products still in the market that not only supports the range of new storage technologies, but it still supports tape. And one of the things about ransomware is ransomware has a lot of trouble with tape. And the reason it does is because tape's a portable medium. Once data's on it, it's taken out of the device. And whether you have a virus, malware, or ransomware, you can't attack a tape that's sitting inside a fireproof safe. And we're finding that customers who had in the past had abandoned tape as old school technology and had, you know, used us to write to the cloud and used us to write to local SANs and network attached storage devices have all come back to now using tape as a simple, cost effective medium, and use HealthStore as a way to separate the data into a discrete copy that can be protected to tape.
So you said tape. I do remember tape also.
Yes.
It is old technology, but it must be newer material technology we're talking about. Tape. We're not talking about what we were doing back in the 70s or 80s, were you?
No. You know, it's funny because we all see the tapes in the movies and they're these very, very, you know, big, real things. Tapes nowadays are small little cartridges. They hold many, many, many terabytes of information. They're very, very efficient, and they have retrieval rates that almost mirror what you can do with a disk. So tape is an underused technology and frankly, probably would have fallen by the wayside. But a mobile medium like a tape is inexpensive, and it can't be attacked by viruses, malware, or ransomware if it's outside the device. And that makes it a very friendly, cost-efficient second source. And that's part of the reason why we continue to support it, because it allows our customers who have been attacked from ransomware, and we've had quite a few, to quickly get their data off the tape, back on a new disk, and back up and running.
It's interesting. It's the same as when I talk to some of these communications places who say the pagers, the healthcare is really the only, I guess drug dealers and healthcare are the only people still using pagers, but the paging technology is modern. And in a time of emergency, these big catastrophes that we have, that's the way they communicate.
It just shows you sometimes you have to relook at some of the older things and get the benefit of them.
Right. So I think we have time for one more quick conversation here, and that's about Commonwealth Health Alliance. You recently joined as a company. Tell us a little bit about that, and why would you join something like that? I think Commonwealth's a great alliance, and they're doing a lot of great stuff.
Well, so it's in the shortest version, it's that Commonwealth is the right initiative, because in order to share data, you have to get at least two or more participants to agree on a common set of standards. Bridgeheads always believe that, because our premise of our platform is that it becomes a data sharing platform. The problem in healthcare, candidly, has been there's always been a consistent set of standards, but you had very few vendors who adhere to them. We built our products based on all the available standards, HL7, XDS, and DICOM. You know, there's things called IHE profiles that allow cross-referencing of patient identifiers and cross-community access and cross-enterprise user assertion. We support all those. What we found is that without an initiative like a Commonwealth, where Commonwealth was able to do the heavy lifting and get vendors to adopt the standards have been sitting on the shelf. We're one of the few vendors who use them. We fully support Commonwealth, because what we see them is getting results. They're getting major vendors in the market to agree that sharing information is just as important as creating information.
I like that what you said. Commonwealth has the right initiative. I like that. Well, I have to say this has been a great conversation, Steve.
Thank you very much. It was for me as well.
And hopefully we'll meet up at HIMSS.
I think we will. I'm going to be there, and I'll be the guy who's doing all the demos. So yes.
Okay, I'll stop by. You can learn more. No problem. You can learn more about Bridgehead Software at bridgeheadsoftware.com and follow them on Twitter at BridgeheadHDM. And thank you for tuning in today. For more information about Interviews Now, visit our show's program page on healthcarenowradio.com. And until next time, if it's happening in healthcare and it's now, it's on Interviews Now.